Today on Family Talk.
Is the Bible reliable? Can we really believe what it says? On today's edition of Family Talk, Dr. Meg Meeker interviews Josh McDowell on why we can trust in the validity and infallibility of the Scriptures. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to enjoy the first part of a program with Josh McDowell on his new book titled God Breathed: The Undeniable Power and Reliability of Scripture. Recently, Josh was part of an archaeological dig where they uncovered new evidence that continues to reinforce the dependability of God's Word, and in just a moment, he'll share with Dr. Meg Meeker about that find and his new book that I mentioned a moment ago. Now, for those of you who have been listening to us for a few years, you're aware of the fact that once a year we travel to the International Christian Retail Show to interview a large list of guests, and then we get to share those interviews with you throughout the year. Today's program is one of those special broadcasts. As a result, you might notice that the show floor was a little bit loud, and we'll hear some of the background noise. But before we get into today's program, I want you to know about an opportunity that you don't want to miss. For every donation Family Talk receives in the month of August, we'll send you a copy of my dad's most popular book, titled Dare to Discipline, along with a corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. To take advantage of this exclusive offer, give today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or by clicking the tab at drjamesdobson.org. Here now is Dr. Meg Meeker as she begins today's program from the floor of the International Christian Retail Show on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Meg Meeker, and I'm sitting here at the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida, with a wonderful man of God who has been a personal inspiration to me, a professional inspiration to me. He's been guests on Family Talk many times over, and he is Josh McDowell. Josh has spoken to over 25 million?
It's actually about 45 now, but it's getting there.
45 million people worldwide. He's co-authored or written 142 books, have been translated into 100 languages.
107 languages, 49.
You are making me look
bad. I feel every one of those books. That's how I know.
That's how you know. And his most recent book, God Breathed, The Undeniable Power and Reliability of Scripture. Josh, thank you so much.
Oh, this is like dying and going to heaven to be interviewed by you, Meg.
Oh, bless you.
Move over, Dr. Dobson.
Oh, he's a great, great man, and I'm just honored to be able to sort of be in there and champion what he champions. So I've always thought of you as, you know, it seemed to me a lot of your early work was in ministry, particularly focusing on youth, younger people. But now I'm interviewing you more as an archaeologist and talking about archaeological findings in your book, God Breathed. Before you wrote this, had you ever done anything like this before?
Well, heavens, yes. You see, one thing I always want, why do I have to study more than most speakers? Why do I research more? Everything. And the reason is, I'm on two tracks in life. I'm probably known best as an apologist, evidential Christianity
yes.
and all. But at the same track, I'm on relationships, sexuality, marriage, youth, everything. And I run my life, so I have to study in books and everything on relationship sexuality, and I got to spend all the time on evidence for the Scriptures, the deity of Christ, everything else. But the two go together.
Perfectly. And one supports the other.
Well, that's right. I was with Gary Smalley and all, and we were doing a symposium, and these guys looked at me, and Smalley said, you know, Josh, you have an advantage over us. And I thought, oh my gosh, Gary Smalley? Yeah. I said, what do you mean? He said, we go into speaking relationships and everything else. We don't have the authority you do. You come in, you've established the authority of the Scriptures, the deity of Christ, the evidence for it. So when you speak out here in sexuality, you have an authority that we don't have. And I thought, wow. Mm-hmm. It's not contrary. One builds on the other.
Exactly.
Because you get off in sexuality today,
yeah.
and you have any doubts about the authority of Scripture, you're going to fudge.
Exactly.
You're going to water it down.
And one of the things that I love, though, is your combination of it. You said sort of the apologetics and the relationship, and that truth begets truth, and they really all support one another so well. Before we launch into your new book, what keeps you going? When Josh McDowell gets up in the morning and those feet hit the floor, what lets you know that today's going to be a good day?
Well, whether it's a good bad day, you determine it pretty much yourself. Anyway, your attitude. Now, just to be down earthly, I would say my wife. Wow. Most people would say Jesus and everything. I'd say Dottie. I never knew a woman could love a man as much as my wife loves me. Mm. I've never seen it in a movie, a Hollywood film. I've never read it in a romance novel. Not that I've read many. But she has changed my life. I came into marriage, I came into life with a lot of baggage. From 6 to 13 years old, every week, for every week for 7 years, I was homosexually raped. Three, four times a week for 7 years straight in my own home.
And that was by a family member?
No, it was by a man. When I was 6 years old, he was hired to be a cook and a housekeeper. And whenever my mother go out to the field to work, they go downtown, they leave for a vacation, she'd make me stand in front of Wayne Bailey and say, "Now, Josh, you obey Wayne. You do everything he tells you to do. And if you're disobedient, you're going to get a thrashing when I get home. So what do you do?" For 7 years, he forced me to watch homosexual pornography, rape me. And finally, at 9 years old, I got up the courage to tell my mother, and she didn't believe me. She made me go out in the farm, in the backyard, we had this big willow tree, break off a willow switch, take my shirt off, and she whipped me for 30 minutes until I was just broken. Whew, it's hard to share. And I just said, "I'm lying." That probably did more damage to me than 7 years of being raped. I was so scared. I was 9 years old. I became afraid. I became afraid of men. And that's when I became a fighter.
Where was your dad?
He was there.
Okay.
He was always drunk. And so I became very bitter, angry, resentful. And people would say to me, "Well, Josh, God loves you. There's a Heavenly Father who loves you." That didn't bring joy. That brought pain.
Right.
I could not. Meg, I couldn't discern the difference between a Heavenly Father and an earthly father. And I grew up believing fathers hurt. My dad hurt me. And as a result, I really didn't have an intellectual problem with Christianity.
An emotional.
I had an emotional problem. What happened was when I became bitter, I became a fighter, I became angry. And when I met these two Christian professors and eight students at college, I asked them, they were so different. They not only seemed to love each other, seemed to love people outside their group. And so I said, "What makes your life so different?" And this young lady looked at me, and she was cute. I used to think Christians were ugly. And she just said, "Jesus Christ." And I said, "Oh, for God's sakes, don't give me that garbage. Yeah. I'm fed up with the church, religion, the Bible, Jesus, Christianity, and everything." She said, "We didn't say Christianity. We said the person of Jesus Christ." And I apologized to them. And then they challenged me to intellectually examine it, which I thought was a joke.
And you're what, 19-ish?
Yes.
About now?
18. And so I accepted their challenge. They got all excited, but I said, "I'm not doing it to prove anything. I'm doing it to refute it." And the whole background for evidence that demands a verdict was to write a book against Christianity. Mm-hmm. And what I did, I traveled throughout the United States. I'd made a lot of money as a student. A lot of money, thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And so I traveled throughout the United States, England, Germany, France, Switzerland, and the Middle East, gathering the evidence to refute the Christian faith. And I went over there to study the scrolls, the manuscripts, to show they were not reliable, that they were false. They were so disconnected and everything. But something happened. I started to be convinced they were reliable. I was returning to the University of the United States, and I stopped in London to go to this library, small library, where they had a number of scrolls and manuscripts, just a little tiny one. And I sat there, and right out loud in front of everyone, I just said, "It's true. It's true." I couldn't refute the scrolls and the manuscripts and what they were depicting. So I returned to the United States, And finally, on December the 19th at 8:30 at night, I couldn't sleep. I was intellectually dishonest. And so I got along with a friend of mine, and I placed my trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, and invited him into my life. Now, unless you've been raped or sexually abused, you don't understand this. I had this burning desire in my gut. I had to tell someone. Meg, I wasn't looking for answers. I wasn't looking for help. I wasn't looking for counseling. I just wanted someone to believe me.
Right.
That's all I wanted. Just right. Believe me.
I'm not crazy.
So I went to the man who led me to Christ. I sat in his office for probably 15 minutes. I couldn't say it because I didn't want to be rejected again. It hurts to be rejected. And when my mom didn't believe me and then thrashed me for it, it built up barriers. And so I walked out of his office. I got the door, turned around, and I just blurted it out. And he, Mick, he believed me.
Oh, praise God.
That was like being born. I don't know what would happen if he hadn't believed me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be sitting here today. Mm-hmm. I would have destroyed everything in my life.
But God gave him to you.
That's right.
And God wasn't going to burn you.
And for 6 months, and this relates to my new book, for 6 months, he mentored me out of the scriptures, the Word of God. I'd meet with him. He would listen. And the best way to help people is to listen. He listened to my hurts, what I was going through, the struggles of that week, dealing with my temper, my resentment and bitterness. And then he would take the scripture and speak it into my life. He would say, well, you know, this is what God says about this here. And he would relate it to my life. Meg, I saw my life right before my eyes change. My feelings, my emotions, my attitude, my behavior. And people say to me, why do you have such a deep conviction that the Bible's true? I said, well, read my new book, God Breathe. It was for this reason. One, intellectually, I know I believe it. I've debated it in over 250 universities around the world. I know I believe the Bible's true. Mm-hmm. And also, it's changed my life. Mm-hmm. Boy, that gives you convictions.
Huge.
It gives. And so at that time, I prayed, Lord, someday, can I have possessed some of these artifacts, a scroll and some manuscripts that I can use to show others the truthfulness of the scripture that you showed me through these artifacts? Mm-hmm. Never dreaming I'd be able to because they're so expensive. Come on, they're into the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
And 4.5 years ago, it became a reality.
Wow. You and I are all about passing on and teaching younger people, people even in their 30s and 40s, about healthy, wonderful sexuality and how it gets twisted and how it gets broken. There's a tremendous amount of pain out there. I'm convinced that if the devil really wants to take a man down and break him, sexual abuse is the way to do it.
Oh, definitely.
But it's more rampant now. But we're living in a culture that won't acknowledge it as pain. We're saying, but that's normal. It's, you know, to blur the edges and everything, and that's
kids
normal.
Are okay. Resilient.
Resilient. Oh, if I hear that one more time. But as pertain to what you're talking about here, I believe that, as you said earlier on, if you've been sexually abused, man or woman, you have a longer gap, a larger gap to close, or you feel a larger gap between you and God because God is a bad guy. So not only do you not want to believe that Christ is real because you don't have evidence, but you also don't want this male person in your life because you've been stung terribly. Was it hard for you to draw close to God in the Lord during those years that man was mentoring you? Is that what you're talking about change to?
It took over a period of a number of years, but there were several things I did. Right after I came to Christ, I knew eventually I needed to go public on this.
That took a while.
Oh, it did. And I went home, told my wife, honey, I need to share with you something. And it was hard.
How long had you been married by that time?
Oh, 30 years, 35 years.
35 years.
Yeah. And
and your wife didn't know.
When I shared it, first thing, she started to cry. And she said, I'm so sorry. That's all I need to hear. Then I knew she understood. She said, honey, you've got to share it with others. My wife is very private because my life is so public.
Public, exactly.
She just wants her alone with me. People don't need to know our life, anything. And she said, you've got to share. This is so contrary to our personality. So I got all my children together, shared with them. Every one of my kids said, Dad, you got to share this. So then I called up Steve Arterburn, and who has a brother who was gay and all. Called him up. He hosted my TV show for a while. I went over, sat down with him, shared it with him. He looked at me and said, Josh, you have to share it. Then I sat down with Dick Day, my dearest, closest, most intimate friend, a family marriage counselor. I shared with him. One of the first things he said, you've got to share this.
Over
so
and over.
Steve Arterburn helped me. And this is where I understood. I had made some decisions. This was God working in my life. I had made some decisions that Steve Arterburn pointed out to me. Josh, we're so healthy for you. For one, I made a decision. I never had any counsel on anything. I'm not a victim. I am not a victim. I don't believe anyone can make you a victim unless you allow them.
Exactly,
I don't care what they've done to them. I am created in the image of God with infinite value, dignity, and worth. And Wayne Bailey cannot take that away from me.
Exactly.
And then second, I made the decision. And I didn't realize until Steve pointed out how healthy it was. I made the decision. I am not damaged goods sexually. Instead of becoming promiscuous, I went the other way.
Yeah.
And then, when I realized this, oh, there's nothing too great in my life for God's power to deal with, nor anything too small or insignificant for His love to be concerned about, Meg, that freed me up. But here was the greatest thing. Now, you'll get some negative letters on this. That's because people are not biblical. When I realized I needed more than Jesus. I needed more than Jesus. I hear people preach, all you need is Jesus, just Jesus, just have the Bible, pray, and all you need is Jesus. And I said, that is not from the Bible, and that is not godly. Now, when it comes to my salvation, all I need is Jesus. It's not Jesus plus works. Jesus.
Right.
All I need, but almost everything after my salvation, I needed more than Jesus. I needed the church.
Yes.
I needed the body of Christ. I needed Dick Day, Paul Lewis, Jim Simpson, Henry Cloud, Steve Arterburn, and Faye Logan. Mm. Without these six men, I wouldn't be here today.
Mm.
I needed someone to love me, to accept me for who I was.
Man to man.
That's right. I needed someone to be there. They'd listen to me. They'd love me. I could go over at 2 o'clock in the morning and wake Dick up out of bed, and he'd be thankful. And he'd get up, and he wouldn't preach to me. He'd listen to me, and he'd pray with me. And that's all I needed. Every man needs that. Every woman needs that. And I get these nasty. I just got one email. I'm going to write a book on it. I might even use the pastor's name. He said, I'll never read another of your books. All you need is Jesus. I said, go back and read the Bible. How many times says one another? Love one
yes.
another. Confess your sins one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's Others. Burdens. Others. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. I needed that.
Yeah.
Without that, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Mm.
And so, to me, if you've been sexually abused, raped, or pornography today, whatever, you need the body of Christ.
Yes.
People say, well, it was Jesus through them. I know that, but the Bible calls it the body of Christ.
The body
of Christ.
It
doesn't say Jesus through them.
You need explanation. You need help. You need encouragement. You need love. You need acceptance. You need that brotherhood of men. And in masculinity today, men are crushed.
But so many are cut off from that when you said all you need
exactly.
is Jesus. In
exactly.
other words, be a man.
Yes.
Come on, man up, read your Bible, pray, and just follow Jesus, and you'll fall flat in your face most of the time.
Yeah, and the last thing that you should do is talk about deep, intimate feelings. And here, when you first divulged about your sexual abuse over and over and over, you were told, tell the story, tell the story. That Christian men don't tell other Christian men to do that. They're like, just, no.
I think, you know, why did it take so many years for me to go public? I wasn't dealing with it. I mean, I was walking through. But when the first person I shared, my mother, and she whipped me for it, I really think, over all the years, that was weighing in the back of my mind. nobody will understand.
Right. Because if your mother doesn't.
And here I was traveling around teaching people how to follow Jesus. Incredible.
But God had you do all of that just for you.
Oh, I'm a better person. I love God more. Yeah. I'm more committed to the scripture. Everything because of that.
And you understand a kindness and a tenderness about God because of that, that probably a lot of people don't understand. But there's so many thousands, millions of young people out there who've been sexually broken and abused.
There's people out there 70 years old that still hate their dad, hate their uncle for it, everything. And they've controlled him from the grave.
Have you seen your abuser since you were a kid?
After I came to Christ, this man mentored me for 6 months. And I knew he was going to say it. I didn't want to hear it. And he did say it, just like you would say it. He said, Josh, you need to forgive him. I said, absolutely no way. I want that man to burn in hell, and I will escort him there. But I knew the Bible was true. Oh, that's taken me through so many hardships. It's one thing to believe it's true. The other is to know it's true.
No, it's true.
And I knew God commanded me to forgive. I didn't want to. I wanted that man to burn in hell what he did to me. And so I forgave him, but I didn't have any good feeling. I did it by faith. I did it out of obedience, saying, God, I know you've commanded me. I know you love me. I know you somehow, I don't know how you could turn it to the good. I'm going to do it. So I drove 45 miles from Battle Creek up to Jackson, Michigan, knocked in the door, and when Wayne answered, I said, Wayne, what you did to me was evil. Very evil.
When you first saw him?
Oh, the first words I said to him. And I said, I've come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and I've come here to tell you, and Meg, what I told him, I did not want it to be true. Intellectually, I knew it was true. Emotionally, I didn't want it to be true. When I said, Wayne, I've come here to tell you that Jesus died as much for you as he did for me. I forgive you.
The words came out. That's the power of God.
And I walked away.
Yeah.
As I walked out, there was two little boys playing on a tricycle. And I turned around. And I said, Wayne, if I ever hear of you ever touching another child again, you will regret it. And left. He died about 15 years ago. But if I hadn't forgiven him, I wouldn't be here today. I would have destroyed my marriage, my family, everything. Because he still would have controlled my life.
So is it fair to say that he really had quite a bit of control, even while you were preaching? Even while you're teaching the gospel, even while you're saying all these wonderful, wonderful things, deep inside, part of him had control until you really released that.
That's right.
Praise God.
And my mother had part of that control, which wasn't good.
Right. Well, I know we're here to talk about your book, and we're going to get to your book, but I just...
Well, this
I don't
is a lot
how,
of yeah. why I wrote the book.
Exactly.
Well, we are out of time for today, but you're not going to want to miss the conclusion of this program next time. For those of you who joined us later in the program, we're enjoying an interview with Josh McDowell on his new book, God Breathed, The Undeniable Power and Reliability of Scripture, here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and before we go today, I want to remind you of the special offer we have available for this month only. It's back to school season, and as you're out and about buying school supplies and materials, you may notice that the carefree fun of summer may have penetrated your son or daughter's attitude a little deeper than you would have liked. As a result, you might be dealing with some frisky kids that need a little correction. Well, for any donation we receive this month, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of my dad's most popular book, titled Dare to Discipline, along with the corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. To take advantage of this offer, give today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or clicking the tab at drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening today, and we'll see you here next time for the conclusion of our interview with Josh McDowell, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
When you become a parent, you find out quickly that kids don't come with instruction manuals. But you'll be glad to know that now they do, or at least with an iPhone app, free from Family Talk. This app personalizes resources around where you are in life. Whether you're a mom, dad, or looking for encouragement in your marriage, this app is for you. The app is packed with parenting and marriage advice from the expert on such matters, Dr. James Dobson. The app also allows you to set reminders to help you keep connected to God and your family. Go to the Family Talk website at drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org/app.